Well, we're all aware of, how busy and fast life is in the West. And people get caught up in, we all get caught up in the responsibilities of our lives and work and family and relationships. And coming to retreat at a retreat center really provides the possibility of a space where we can begin to put some of that busyness down. And it seems increasingly essential that in our society we have places to do this. And it's rare. There aren't many places where we can go in some structured setting that's both quiet and peaceful with instruction about how to put things down, how to train the mind. So it seems to me that retreat centers and meditation centers are providing an invaluable resource for people in these times. It's a chance to appreciate kind of the beauty and the power of silence, the so little silence in our lives. And when we come into a space that's silent, whether it's in nature or at a meditation center, we get in touch with such a beautiful and deep and transforming part of ourselves. Out of the silence and instruction in meditation, which uses the silence as the field or the environment in which to look at the mind and look at the heart. It reveals so much about ourselves. It's really the beginning of learning. Learning about ourselves, learning who we are, learning about those things that cause suffering, those things that bring happiness. So meditation centers or retreat centers just provide a unique opportunity, I think, in Western cultures for this exploration to happen. Within the Buddhist tradition, the investigation, the training of mind, which is really what meditation is, kind of brings together two different, or uses two different strategies, one might say, for developing this understanding. One is the development of calm, just learning how to calm the mind through in strengthening of concentration or one-pointedness. As most people know who have ever attempted meditation or been on retreat, the mind is very difficult to train, to steady. The tendency of the mind is just to go off following different thoughts and feelings and images and memories and judgments and plans. And we try to give it a very simple object of concentration like the breath, but it's generally off and running on many different kinds of distracting thoughts. So it takes a training, it takes a certain application of skillful effort and a certain discipline to keep bringing the mind back. And this is the training. This is the training in concentration. It's very helpful to be on retreat for this because it provides a supportive environment for this training. It's not easy to do by oneself. So the retreat center is really a very valuable resource, in this training. It provides a conducive environment. What we find is that after some time on retreat, and it can be sometimes as little as a few days, that one begins to get a taste of what it's like when the mind is calm, or a little bit more calm. And it's a wonderfully refreshing and renewing and healing feeling in the mind and body. It's of great benefit. And this is just the beginning of meditation, right? But even from the very beginning, when people have a taste of this calm, it's a great blessing. And it encourages people, I think, to go further. Based on this just beginning experience of greater calm, and beginning concentration, it's possible then to explore the nature of the mind and the body, developing insight into this nature, just understanding how it is that the mind is actually working, to really see what it is that causes happiness in our lives, to see what it is that the mind is doing that causes distress in our lives. And this happens on various levels. At first, we begin to see the psychological patterns of our conditioning. We've all been conditioned in different ways, and some of those ways are skillful, conducive to happiness, some are unskillful, conducive to our suffering. So we begin to see patterns of generosity or kindness or greed or anger or fear or compassion. And it's through the awareness of them that we can begin to make choices about what we cultivate and what we practice letting go of. When we see for ourselves what brings us happiness and what doesn't. So this is no longer in the realm of philosophy or abstraction. It really is coming out of our own direct experience. So on kind of the first level, we understand our psychological bodies, our psychological level of our experience more deeply, and can begin to make wiser choices. The meditation also brings us even deeper than that, and that is we begin to see not only the content of what's in our minds, but also the process of how it's all happening. And particularly, we see the changing nature of it all. It's interesting that we all know that things change. This is not a mystery or some deeply hidden truth. But we know it to a large extent on the intellectual level. And we don't necessarily know it in our bones. We don't necessarily live that understanding. In meditation and through a systematic practice of meditation, of mindfulness, we just see the impermanent nature of everything that arises so clearly and so vividly that it becomes a profound insight in our lives, not simply a conceptual or intellectual understanding. And the more we see the impermanent nature of everything, of different elements of our body, of our thoughts, our emotions, of all the experiences in our life, of all our sense pleasures, the more we see the impermanent nature of everything that arises, the less addicted we are to things. It's not that we don't enjoy them or engage in the world, but there's less compulsion, there's less addiction, there's less attachment. And as we free ourselves to some extent from the addictions, from the compulsions, from the attachments, the less we suffer. So it's a very positive feedback loop. The less we see, the more we experience the diminishment of suffering, so we're more inspired to see even more deeply and to let go even more completely. So all of this comes out of our own exploration. This is not through what somebody tells us or through some belief system. It's through our own practice. And this practice is greatly served by the environment of a retreat center, because the centers are dedicated to that purpose. That's the reason for coming on retreat, in order to see more deeply. One of the manifestations of the calm and the growing insight is how we relate in the world, how we relate to other people. And what comes out of a growing understanding of ourselves is a greater feeling of loving kindness, you know, a greater feeling of compassion. Now, these feelings or qualities of mind can be cultivated as meditation practices in themselves, and they also manifest spontaneously as the fruit of greater insight into ourselves. Given how much conflict there is in the world and how much divisiveness, how many places of suffering that now exist in the world, it's important that in different ways we cultivate these feelings of loving kindness and compassion. The world needs it. And we need to start with ourselves. It's not enough to say, yes, the world has to be more loving and we need more peace. We need to develop those qualities in ourselves. It starts with ourselves. There's one famous teaching of the Buddha's, which we can hear, and I think will be familiar to us. But we often hear it, I think, as a cliche, and so dismiss it. But then we miss the profound import of it. We miss the profound meaning of it. And that is a teaching from the Dhammapada, where the Buddha says, hatred never ceases by hatred. It only ceases by love. This is an ancient truth. And when I look around or read about or see, you know, so many of the places of conflict in the world, that just seems to cycle around again and again and again, where violence begets violence. It seems increasingly clear that the only way is to somehow change our response, you know, which takes a great understanding and a great expansiveness of mind. And our responsibility as individuals, I think, is to practice that in our own lives, you know, to really look deeply in times of our own difficulties, our own conflicts. Can we develop compassion? Can we develop love? Can we develop an understanding which transcends the polarities? So this is a great challenge. And it takes, for most people, it takes a willingness, and it takes an effort, and it takes an environment that supports the cultivation of these states and the investigation of ourselves. And this is the great gift of retreat centers, of meditation centers, particularly a center like Beatenburg, which is located in such a remarkably beautiful setting. It is so conducive to expansiveness of mind and openness of mind and inspiration of heart, the closeness to the great alpine peaks is both breathtaking and inspiring. It has a profound effect on the mind. And so it's a wonderful place for this kind of work. I feel very grateful that it exists, and for all the people who help to sustain it. It's a rare gift to the world.